Kids, you can stay for the sermon. Who was here the first service? All right, a lot of us. Welcome back. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here at this church, and it is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We lit the candle of love, and today's theme is love. Love, love. Love, 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 love. There's going to be at least five or six more references to songs in this sermon. So if you missed that first one, I apologize. But sometimes we look for love in all the wrong places. And sometimes we look to others for love. Sometimes we look to ourselves for love. Sometimes we look to things for love, or we look to our circumstances or places for love or fulfillment. And so that's really what this sermon is going to be about this morning, are these four areas where we sometimes get it wrong and misalign our priorities, and we put our hope or our trust or looking to these things, or these people, these places for fulfillment in love, when in fact love and fulfillment can only be experienced by God. So that is the bottom line up front for today's sermon. Is Jesus Christ has to be our first priority, because if we put anything else or anybody else as a priority over God, we will ultimately feel empty inside and be unfulfilled in life. So as we look at this next slide here, this is the first area that we miss the mark. We look to others for fulfillment. As an extrovert, this is more difficult than me, than perhaps maybe some of you introverted people out there. But let me start off by saying this. There's nothing wrong with being in relationship with other people. You know, we all need somebody to lean on. You just might have a problem. All right, well. But we are made for community. In fact, God, from the very beginning, he said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him." And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement with being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, in tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." And then in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. There are so many more biblical references to the importance of relationships and community with other people. Right? Community is important, but where we end up getting it wrong is that when we look to other people to fulfill something that only God can fulfill in us, we look to others for experiencing this love that only God provides. It's like that song from Wham, right? "Last year I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away," right? We give our hearts away too easily to people. And what happens? We end up feeling distraught. But, you know, in the terrible song from Wham, they end up giving it to somebody else. So we get it wrong. God created us for a relationship with other people. And when we put other people before God, then we will end up feeling unfulfilled. So again, we have to use God, and God is our first priority. Number two, we look to ourselves to find fulfillment or love. And there are so many books out there about needing to take care of yourself, about self-care, you know, how to love yourself better. And, you know, there's a massive emphasis on making sure that we're okay. But what ends up happening when the focus is on ourselves and it's all about us, we become self-absorbed, we become selfish. And I get caught up into watching Facebook Reels, and I realize that's a very old statement by our younger generation, but I see people who are influencers, right? This influencer. Everybody wants to be an influencer, and they think that they are the best thing ever. They are so self-absorbed and so just selfish that it's just like, man, I feel sad for you. I mean, life does not revolve around you, but you think you are just this amazing person. Again, the caveat is that there's nothing wrong with taking care of your emotional, your physical, your emotional, your spiritual health. All those things are really important. In fact, Peter Scazzaro writes in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, is that we cannot be spiritually healthy or spiritually mature unless we are also emotionally mature or emotionally healthy. And I'd recommend all of you put that on your Christmas list and read it. So I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, but if we're putting ourselves before others, or we're putting ourselves above God, then we're going to end up feeling unfulfilled. So going back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, the Apostle Paul reminds us again, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And in Galatians chapter 6, 2 through 5, we're reminded to carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should look at their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, I came up with this jingle, and I actually got an applause from the first service. There's no pressure on you to clap for the second one, but I came up with this jingle. Putting me before we is a disease, you see. All right. Okay, thanks. No, that's good. All right. Again, if I had not caveated that, nobody would have clapped. But number three, we go wrong when we look to things or stuff to bring us love or fulfillment. I can tell you that the sales at Academy Sports, Cabela's Gap, Eddie Bauer, Costco, and Sam's Club have not done well for me and wanting more stuff or trying to feel more fulfilled with stuff. In fact, Realtor.com and Zillow are very dangerous websites for me. Sometimes I'll just go on there and think, you know, I wonder what I can get for $40 million. You know, and I don't obviously have $40 million. But I think about this, and it's not good. There's a story that I heard long ago, and I'm sure it was at a church service, and the person, this man who was a very shrewd, very wealthy man, he wanted his dying request to be for his wife to liquidate essentially all of their possessions and convert it into gold coins. And what he wanted is for his wife to go ahead and convert all this into coins and then place them in a treasure box in the next room above his. So, because in his thinking, when he dies, he's going to be able to go up to heaven and take the treasure with him. So the wife reluctantly takes care of this request for him. He ends up passing away, and then a couple of weeks later, she goes into the attic, and she sees the treasure box there and all the gold coins. And so she thinks to herself, maybe I should have put the chest under his bed. No. All right. Someone told me another one of those after the service today. They said, yeah, you know, this man's dying request was to be buried with all of his cash. So it was like $200,000 worth of cash. And he wanted to be, that it wanted to be in his casket for when he died. And so at the funeral, someone's like, so did you do what your husband asked, you know, like to have all this cash? And he's like, well, I took all the cash, I put it in the bank, and I just wrote him a check, and I put it in the casket for him. So we've heard celebrities all the time say that all of their wealth and their possessions, it didn't bring them the happiness that they thought it was going to bring them. And Some of them end up killing themselves, or they get involved in a lot of addiction. It's the stuff that we look to bring us fulfillment and love, and it ends up actually making us feel empty, you know? A big house, 5 cars, you're in charge. That was a Cypress Hill reference for those of you who listened to 90s gangster rap. But in fifth grade, I really wanted a Nintendo, and I will always use this as a reference because, man, the first NES, you know, I wanted it, and I finally got it, and I thought for sure this was going to bring me fulfillment, and it did not bring me fulfillment. But man, that was a lot of fun. Okay, but we go wrong when we look to stuff or our things to bring us fulfillment. Jesus tells his disciples that they have to be willing to give up everything to follow him. In Mark 8, 34 through 37, then he called to the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be one of my disciples must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone gain or anyone give in exchange for their soul?" The answer is absolutely nothing. Say it again. And in Matthew 19, it's going to get worse, I promise. Matthew 19, 21, Jesus says, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me." Now, the caveat is that there is absolutely nothing wrong with having great wealth or possessions. God has blessed many people with a lot of resources and wealth, and there is nothing sinful about that. The point is that we are needing to be at a place to be willing to give it all up for the sake of Christ. We can't look to our possessions or our stuff or things to bring us fulfillment and love. That's something only God can provide for us. Lastly, when we look to our circumstances or places in life to provide us with fulfillment and love, and look, nobody else knows this better than I do, that I like to think that I can control my life and the outcomes of things. I like to feel like I am in control. Sometimes I evaluate my relationship with God depending on how much time am I interacting with God throughout the day. Think about it. I mean, how often do we only turn to God when life is difficult or circumstances are going poorly or we're under a lot of adversity? How many of us commune with God on a regular basis when things are going really well? How often are we in communion with God on a daily, hourly basis when things are great? I think that might be an indicator of our relationship with God, that perhaps sometimes we might be letting our circumstances or our place in life, the things that are going well, to take the place of God. And this might seem like a stretch, but I left this point as the last point because I think all of the other three categories blend into this one. When we put others, when we put ourselves, when we put stuff before God, it all bleeds together. There was this is going to be another song reference, okay? When I was a kid, we had a cassette tape and vinyl. Back when vinyls weren't cool, well, they were cool, then they weren't cool, now they're cool again. So this is when they were still cool for the first time, and there were the Word Birds. And the Word Birds came up with this great song, and it's Radio J-O-Y. So Jesus first, another second, and put yourself at the end of a line. So Jesus, others, then yourself, right? And so it's a prioritization that Jesus is first, others are second, then it's you. And it's amazing. I'm still in my mid-40s, and I can still remember those songs. But it's true. It's true. We have to have our priorities straight. There has to be an honest assessment that we have to make in our lives to determine, including me, to determine whether or not we are allowing God to be that first priority. if God is truly fulfilling us in every area of our life. 1 John verses 5 through 10. Did I say that right? 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not with us. This is nothing new. From the very beginning, all of humanity has struggled with this, to keeping God as the number one focus, to keeping God as the number one priority in their lives. We still struggle with that today. I still struggle with that today. But it's important to remember to get our priorities back on track. So whatever God might be convicting you of this morning, don't just let that be a fleeting moment. Pray about it. What is it that we all need to do to get our priorities back on track? So in conclusion, when we look to, last slide, here we go. We look to God for fulfillment. We look to God for fulfillment. We look to God for fulfillment. And guess what? We look to God for fulfillment. All those other things, if we look to those for love and fulfillment, we're never going to feel fulfilled. It is only something that God is able to do. And so, thank you, students and children's ministry. You did a great job this morning in allowing me to have a short sermon this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for your love, grace, and mercy in our lives. We're grateful for the hard work and dedication of our children's ministry and the great job they did, and getting to watch them lead us in worship and just appreciate the goodness that you have given to all of us. So humbly ask a blessing over them and the many families and friends who have come here to worship this morning. And I pray, God, that you would help us to all make you priority, especially during this Christmas season. Help us to find true fulfillment and love only through you. Apart from you, we could do nothing. Amen.